The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Gareth Sheridan is with me in the meantime, the entrepreneur, businessman and presidential hopeful. Gareth, you're welcome to the show. So Tipperary and Kerry County Councils have provided you with a nomination. Who are you targeting now?
Yeah, that's right. It was right now we've four councils remaining. I've been in Carlow now since Tuesday evening after the result in Tipperary. And then we have kind of a mad Monday then again, where we'll be hoping to earn the support and the trust from Meath, Offaly and Louth. So it's still all to play for, Kieran. We're still going. We're about halfway through our presentations and we're two from four. So I think, you know, there's still a pathway there.
So Carlow is tomorrow. Is that when they're meeting?
Carlos tomorrow. Yeah, that's so, correct. So
okay, so what's the timetable tomorrow? When will you know whether you've got the support of Carlow County Council?
Yeah, it just really depends how the process plays out. So the meeting's to be held at four. I'll present to the council. I'll try and earn the support and the trust from the councillors now I've been building relationships with for the last number of weeks and months. And, you know, when it goes to a vote, hopefully we'll add three to our list. You know, it's obviously an uphill battle. We're all aware of the blocks that are in place and that. But I think, you know, there's more of an increasing appetite, particularly among the public and amongst the councillors, to see the ballot open up a little bit. You know, a three-horse race I don't think is good for our democracy. And I think, you know, getting Sinn Féin with a candidate on the ballot, getting an independent candidate on the ballot, and then making sure that people have a wide array of choices and candidates to choose from, I think it's important. Particularly, we don't want to send a message going forward that the only ever candidates we'll get to choose from now on would come from within just the political parties. I think that would be an unfortunate outcome.
And tell me this, is that the nature of the pitch to county councils? Or is the pitch why you want to be president? Or is it why you should be on the ballot?
Yeah, I mean, it's a combination of everything, Kieran. It's something that I know from I've been meeting with councillors since the beginning of the year. It's not something that they take lightly. You know, it's a very trusted decision that they have, and it's a prerogative that they have enshrined in the constitution, and it's not given out kind of willy-nilly. It's very much considered, and the hard questions are asked, and you have to earn that trust to earn the vote. So it's a combination of making sure that we just emphasise that councillors have a very important you know, prerogative enshrined in Article 12 of the Constitution, that they can make sure that we have candidates on our presidential elections that come from outside the walls of Leinster House. And I think they understand that. But also you have to earn it as a person, your credentials, your background. There's obviously a very deep dive into who you are as a person before they give you the trust with their vote. So it's a combination really of everything. And I've been definitely working hard on that for the last number of months.
What types of questions have they been asking you about your background? What questions have surprised you?
You know, I get there's a wide array of questions. You know, the one that comes up quite often is, well, you know, to give you an example, I'm quite passionate about housing. And the question that you get back is, well, the president can't do anything about housing. But the president, you know, Fergus Finlay put it very well recently, that the president is limited in terms of executive power, but it's unlimited in terms of influence. And we want to make sure that the next president uses that influence to tackle issues of today, particularly starting with things like housing, which affects so much of the people in this country directly and indirectly. So I'm not naive to the limitations of the role, but I'm definitely understanding that the role is unlimited in terms of influence. And the president represents us internationally, Kieran, but also represents us at home. And I think there's a very large group of people at home right now who don't feel like they have adequate representation. And they tend to be those under the age of 40 who can't afford a home of their own. Now, I'm not saying I'm going to go start giving out houses and building houses and I'm running a campaign with a hammer in my hand. But we need to make sure that they're welcomed into the conversation about how we tackle it collectively. And let's put this politics of left and right to the side and forget about it from now on. And let's start looking at the politics of just going forward collectively. But there's too much division.
Implicit in that, though, Gareth, is criticism of the government and government housing policy heretofore, is there not?
No, absolutely not. Look, the next president, and this is something that I would really emphasise, is that I'm not looking at this to be some sort of antagonist to government. I think the last thing we need is somebody who's approaching.
But you might look at it that way. Government might look at it that way. If the president is saying that there's a whole host of people disenfranchised because of a failure of housing policy, I've interviewed enough people who are members of this government to know exactly what they would think of that message.
Well, I think they're already aware that that's the case, is the thing, Kieran. I mean, I'm not telling them anything that is not already well known in the political circles, but sometimes I think we need to stop.
Yeah, but you're saying your ambition is not to take an antagonistic approach to government.
Yeah.
If you say you're just reminding them of the facts, I'm telling you now, they will consider that antagonistic.
Well, I think a protagonist for the people is probably a better way to describe it. Let's welcome in the generations that are facing it head on into the conversation, and let's tackle our issues collectively. One of the things that I've really noticed is that there's far too much division among us. I mean, when did we become a country that if you disagree with somebody, you automatically have to hate them or dislike them? It's healthy for democracy to have different opinions, viewpoints and inputs. And I think that's how we collectively tackle issues like housing. And we have issues beyond that again. You know, housing is at the helm of our core issues right now, but we have problems with healthcare, we have problems with disability services, home care. But these are all things that can be tackled head on. But we need a new, fresh mindset, you know, oblivious to the division that we've seen over the last number of years and pointing fingers and turning on each other. Let's collectively tackle these issues head on.
Yeah, I know, but implicit in that again is criticism of government. Like all of those things, if there's problems therein, are problems born of government failure. And for you to talk about them is to continually point out government failure. And it sets you on a collision course with government.
I don't agree actually, Kieran. I think you have to maintain these things as top of the narrative and top of the conversation, not in an argumentative manner. But we can't let it become normal that people can't afford homes under the age of 40. We can't let it become the norm that in many circumstances, people have to emigrate just to start a life and make a living. We can't accept these things in our society and as in Ireland now, particularly when we're a top five economic performer in every major index and we can't people under the age of 40 can't afford a home. These are things that we just need to make sure are kept top of the narrative, not in an argumentative manner, but we can't let it become the norm. That's what
I'm saying. Yeah, I know, but you know, look, there's people who describe a presidential election as, you know, a vibes election, essentially where, you know, we want to vote for somebody who we think is not going to make a fool of us. They're going to do a good job. They're going to represent us well. We're going to be happy with them up there in the auras that nothing they say or do is going to embarrass us too much. And at the same time, we want to elect somebody as well whose judgment we trust. And if it's your judgment that you can talk about all of these things, about failures of government housing policy, about failures of social policy, about failures of home care policy, and you honestly think your assessment is, I don't think the government are going to have a problem with that, because I'll describe it as protagonistic instead of antagonistic.
Well, I don't believe I'm raising issues there that the government isn't already aware of. I'm just trying to make sure that we don't normalize it, Kieran. I don't think it's an argumentative approach I'm taking. I'm just saying it's something that we need to make sure that we continue to try and tackle. Let's not let it become the norm that people under the age of 40 can't purchase a home. You know, it's actually enshrined in our constitution, Article 45.2.1 of our constitution. Now, the president upholds the constitution, so this is important. Article 45.2.1 of our constitution states that the citizens may, through their occupations, find a means of a reasonable provision for their domestic needs. Now, in simple terms, through your job, you should be able to afford your domestic needs. And in my opinion, your number one domestic need in this country is a roof over your head and a home to call your own. So there's a constitutional obligation for us to tackle this issue. And we're coming off almost a decade since this was declared a national emergency. My understanding of the word emergency is something that needs to be tackled quickly. Now, again, I'm not coming at this in an argumentative manner, but we certainly need to keep it top of the focus and start working on solutions.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I guess there would be people who would contend, I mean, housing is always top of the focus. It's the number one issue in every opinion poll that's commissioned in this country and has been for some time. We've been describing it as a housing crisis for almost a decade. We don't necessarily need a president to remind us of that. But even were you still minded to remind people of it, something else the Constitution says is that the functions of your office can only be exercised by you if you're in that office with the consent of the Taoiseach. And I suspect, word it slightly differently than I was about to, how would you react to the Taoiseach of the day saying, you're no longer to be hosting these summits about housing and home care policy and social policy and all of these disenfranchised people, as you call them?
Well, I mean, I don't think that would be a very good move for the Taoiseach to make, certainly. I mean, it doesn't send a very good message. Again, we're not trying to come at this where there's going to be division between the office of the president and the government. We just need to make sure we tackle our issues head on. And I think, in my opinion, a candidacy like myself sends a very strong message to the people in the country that don't feel like they have an ear or a voice, that they're welcome to the conversation on how we tackle our issues head on.
So, Carlo, tomorrow, if you get good news in Carlow, Gareth, how much pressure do you suspect it's going to put on, you know, some of those councillors, be they in Fine Gael or Fianna Fáil, but their want of a solo run the odd time on Monday to support you?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it puts us obviously in a different kind of position then. We need one more to make the ballot paper. I don't think, you know, you have to earn your vote and you have to earn your right to support from the councils on Monday. So pressure isn't the right word. It's not a pressure tactic that we're using here. But I think it certainly puts you in a strong position that you need that last vote to get across the line. So we'll see how we get on in Carlow. But I'm not taking any of this for granted. You know, I'm not taking Carlow for granted. I mean, you have to earn that trust. And to your point, you have to earn it through your character, what you want to bring. You can't just earn it by putting pressure on councillors to make what I believe to be the right decision if they disagree.
Gareth, we wish you well in Carlow and beyond. And we'll keep in touch. Gareth Sheridan, entrepreneur, businessman and presidential hopeful.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.